Allow me to begin, as I always do, with a short, appropriate prayer. Holy Spirit, give me the words you want me to speak to this audience, and give the audience the ears to hear what you want them to learn. I also have a secular variant to that prayer. Sometimes we're privileged to give a concert with the family, with your president as the youngest violinist. And we started always with the announcement, if you think that it sounds well, thanks the Lord for this nice orchestra. If you think that it sounds from time to time out of tunes, thank the Lord for your good ears. This is a little bit, I think, the spirit in which I would like to bring a number of matters to you. And what is on there, apart from the Dutch title of the book, I shall explain you at the very end. It's not without reason that I begin with these two little examples. A family, to stay together, must play and pray together. Bishop, you mentioned it already. It is absolutely essential. My dearest wife, who together with me wrote this little booklet, is not here because as a result of a serious case of medical malpractice, her health is very, very seriously impaired, and all she can do tonight is pray from a distance that I'm not going to say foolish things. And I'm sure she will do it. I'm not sure whether it will work. But I try my best. One of the most important things following that is that the great strength of your mother and my dear wife is that she managed to turn suffering into grace. The greatest grace of our family was that she was always there, always ready to deal with whatever problem came her way, and always ready to receive the children with tea or soup, whatever the time of the day. That is something, Christian already mentioned it, and that is something which is of eternal value. Another thing, of course, was, and you learn things the hard way, as her suffering did not enable to do all the things she would like to do, we had to take over. With the result that out of seven family members at the time, we had seven good cooks. And there was a very simple reason to make everybody cook. Number one is, of course, to start yourself. And number two was to introduce the rule, those who cook don't have to wash up. So I have never had any problem with cooks. That is, I think, an interesting thing. So, suffering brought us grace. But there's one more thing I would like to mention. In the most difficult time of the development of the Catholic Church in our country, we were blessed to discover the Communauté Emmanuelle in France. We went there with all our children several times, and it saved our faith. And it did more than saving our faith. It taught us two things. The first one is, seek first the joy of the Lord before starting to make judgments. He will, in that joy, give you the power to discern what is good and what is right. The second thing, Paralimonial taught us, if you want to have humor, which is essential, begin by not taking yourself seriously, which I think is very true. That reminds me of a very beautiful saying I once found on a church door in French, but I shall translate it. The Lord gave us the laugh in order to give us consolation for having given us intelligence. And I think it's very appropriate to from time to time to correct ourselves with it. Dear Christian, I'm the only one, I think I'm allowed to announce you that way. No. You find this, at least as a father, I can do it. You can see in what I asked to be written behind my name, the priority of what I would like to discuss with you. I started as a husband. We became father and mother. We became a grandfather. And after sunset, when all the homework was done, I tried to be a professor. So I helped in the education of the children and the cooking during the day, and started writing and working during night. Sometimes that was a little too early for the grown-up children, but that's the way it was. So that is important. So there you see the order. But before I mention this, there is one important thing which it came across several times today, but I would like to underline. When we try to live the Christian family, we are bound to be signs of contradiction. John Paul II, the Pope I loved so much, he always would immediately add, of course you have to be a sense of contradictions, but don't be afraid. And I think that the first mission we have as a family is to live the family the way the Christ would want us to do, but also to know that we will be a sign of contradiction. We will be ridiculed, we will be attacked, whatever it is, but we must have the courage to continue to be a sign of contradiction. That is not new. Last month I was reading St. Augustine's City of God in English, because that's the best translation. If the time in which he was writing it was about as bad as the time we are living in today. And still, St. Augustine is still a guide for all of us today who take the time to read his Confessions. That's a shorter one. And the City of God, which is about 1,100 pages, I think. So we need the courage continuously, and that courage to be a sign of contradiction is not something we can solve. It is part of our life forever. Now, husbands. Christian mentioned it already, and we discovered it, and we tried to make the best of it. The love between the parents is the basis of the family. It's the foundation of the family. It must be visible, must be perceptible. It must come to the children through joy and tenderness, and of course also forgiveness. And forgiveness, I mention it, I'll come back on it at the moment. The basic thought about husband and spouse is in the book of Genesis. Man, husband and wife, are equal by law and complementary by nature. What a beautiful combination. None of them is to be the boss over the other, but they complement each other in a very beautiful way. But that was, of course, it went wrong. Original sin. So this equality and this complementarity after, and it's already in book Genesis, after original sin, became very often rivalry and domination. So we have continuously to continue to turn back to this basic position, equality and complementarity. And we must be aware of it, that that is a continuous effort to make. Even today, at 56 years of marriage, we must continue to do it. We must continue to have that visible love without domination and without rivalry. And throughout education, that means that you have to be quite aware of your feelings. And that's why forgiving is so important. We had a very simple we had a very simple agreement in the family. That is, if there was some fight or some conflict, don't go to bed before organizing the forgiving. And the beautiful thing is that if you do that on a daily basis, it is a habit you have to develop. If you do it on a daily basis, no conflict will ever escalate. If you go to bed with a revenge or what feeling, next day that can get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that is very often how marriages collapse. So do it every night. For some, especially fathers, that is more difficult than for others. So you must also make it easy. One of the things we did, he said, well, if to our children, if you can't ask for forgiveness, just write a little paper and put it on our bedside. We've quite a collection. And some of them, very funny. I give you one that is also typical. One was, I'm sorry I did it, but I'm sure I will again do it again tomorrow. It's no problem, because that is our human condition. We indeed ask forgiveness, and the next day we just start over again. But the fact that we continuously do it creates this habit of forgiveness as a very basic thing. One thing, and now I'm entering dangerous territory, but still I mention it. My wife and I agreed very much at the beginning, we are never going to quarrel about money. We have one account, and we never quarrel about, we never check each other. Full confidence. And it still works. And I can all of you urge to do so. It is so beautiful, and it excludes so many potential problems and so many necessities for that little sheet of paper in the evening. It's fantastic. It's a kind of freedom which I can very much suggest to all of you. We must, of course, keep in mind, when before I move from husband to father, that when we decide, when we go get married, when the Lord gives us children, I say deliberately gives us children, that's not because we are competent to do so, it just overcomes us. Getting married, falling in love, like receiving children, it overcomes you. And probably that is how the Lord wanted it to do. It is part of nature that overcomes you. You try to deal with it as well as you can. And that, I think, is important to keep that in mind. Now, a few things as far as father and mother of six. The difficult part is very short. Give the good example yourself before asking your children to do it. 50% of education in that sense is solved. But it's hell of a difficulty to do that. We tried very hard, and I very much urge you to do the same. A few examples. When children are still at home, let's say until they go to high school, I would say there is time for what I would call self-evident obedience. And my dear wife had a very good way of dealing with it. A duty, make it a privilege. That is to say, I give you two very important examples. The first one, we told the children, we always, on Sunday, have a nice family brunch after going to Mass together. Has never been a point of discussion. Still today, with all our grandchildren, it's not a point of discussion. And I think it's very simple and very often forgotten. Don't ask your children, do you go? Do you want to come to this Sunday morning? No, it's part of our life, just as a bread. Second one, even more pertinent, I think, my dear wife discovered that, made it, he said, well, if you go to confession, we'll have a bosse bol, we call it, and that's a nice a Dutch cake of Brabant. So if you have a bosse bol, a Dutch cake, when you come out of confession. Still today, we got phone calls around Easter from all over the world. Daddy or mommy, when she's on the phone, I'm qualified to have this pastorate. Even the grandchildren do it. But it is very simple and very important. It is part of, you see, I hope it will be in the Senate also, the good things in life must begin right in these very little steps during the day and during the night in the family. Just these two examples, because I should not keep you for all too long. We have another thing, two other things under the heading of the father and the mother. At school, when we were at school, my wife and I, during the war and after the Second World War, you could safely send your children to a Catholic school, and you didn't have to check what they were taught. Today, that's for most of all of you, that's quite different. So you have to check what is happening at school. And even more important, and I give you the example which obviously is most of concern to us, sexual education at school starts more and more earlier and earlier, and it is not at all what we would like the children to be taught. It is better not to take them from school, because that is not the way. What we did is we taught them the same subject before they would have it at school. And that is turned out to be, I hope Christian agrees, that turned out to be very important, because when we taught them what we thought as Catholic fathers and mothers what they should know, thereafter they received this teaching at school, they came home and said, Daddy, or Mother, you told us this one, and what they told that, what's right? And obviously, we remained as parents as the points of reference for such important things. And it is something that stays on. It can begin with unimportant things, but it can stay on until life, that as parents, we have to try to continue to be the point of reference. And one of the ways of doing that, apart from the example and from the teaching and everything, is to be ahead of what happens at school. Okay. Another thing, which in this sense I mentioned, but that is, I'm already coming a little bit too close to the job I had. I think it is very important for us as parents to practice clarity. The example is quite clear. If we talk about family, we talk about a divine institution, and that is the family created by one man and one woman. Everything else, positive law may call whatever it wants, but for us, the clarity is that it's a divine institution that is defined like this. And there are many more such examples. Then we are a sign of contradiction. But the great problem I see around us in a country like the Netherlands and probably the others is that we Christians no longer have the courage to stand for what we think. We just, politicians of course are the worst examples, we just, in order to appease public opinion or not to lose the majority, we go all the way with them and we go all the way wrong. We can say, well, we may have to make compromises, but this is our conception of, and there are many of such things. Clarity in the family is of great importance. Okay, that's enough for the father and the mother. The bishop mentioned it already, praying together at meals. There are so many, but that is one of the basis of course of the family. I step a few things further. In one of the books I read on willpower, not somebody of faith, but still with quite some good, writes somewhere in his book, breaths are made, not born. I think it's very true, isn't it? It is very true if you can make it in the sense of having no breaths, of course, but if you see it around this very often, breaths have suffered from just lack of education. And we should know that this is an important basic conclusion to keep in mind. That is to say that especially in the time we are living in today, we have to do much more in terms of father, mother, grandparents, in educating our children, in giving some counterweight what they receive at home. There are a variety of suggestions. Christian made the beautiful initiative that if the schools are not good enough for my children, I make a school that is good enough for my children. It's marvelous. I think it's wonderful. And I would suggest many more of you to do it. It's not possible in all countries. In the Netherlands, when you grew up, that was not possible, so we arranged for alternative or separate private education wherever it was necessary. But that is, again, we have to keep that in our hands more and more than ever. And that is already a little further we developed in our family a number of interesting shorthand maxims, and that sometimes helps a lot. I had mentioned to you already, he who cooks doesn't have to do the washing up, but we had another one that came from my parents when we made long walks. We are not hungry, we are not thirsty, and we are not tired. That is to say, don't ask for ice creams or whatever before you are home. It's a very good training. Christian still walks 3 hours without getting tired, and then up and down mountains. Well, it works very well. And that is another one which I like very much, but it's difficult to translate. I cannot, I know not. Cannot is no excuse, because it only means that you must learn it, isn't it? In Dutch it sounds better, but you know what it means. Cannot, know not. I cannot. So everything you can learn. And that's, in fact, that is true. That's, I can assure you. Another one which is important, also better in Dutch, but still understandable in English, time is priority. You never have time. You can only make it. Time is priority, and just apply it in life, and your agenda will become very empty suddenly, isn't it? If you know that you must, certain things have to have priority over you. The last one is also important. What you begin with, you must finish. One danger, some children, they like to begin 10 things at the same time. That doesn't work, of course. Huh? You must do one. But they are family rules, and one of the interesting things I found out, and my wife found out, since we have these maxims, everybody smiles about it and does it. It's no problem. And let's say it is, I could go on for hours, but that's not in the program. But there are lots of these very small things with which you build up the family. We made a lot of mistakes continuously. We are still trying, even as grandparents. We still must correct ourselves, but that's normal. And that brings me to a few of my last points, and then I'm enter a little bit the professorial part, if you don't mind. In this society, but anyhow, we need to have a critical mind. We need to observe well, and we need to be vigilant. That is to say, we don't take any theories for granted, to begin with. There is the theory, which I think comes from the psychology of the 1960s, don't tell the children what to do. You must ask them what they like to do. Do you like to go to church today? Do you like to have breakfast? No. That makes a child completely disoriented. Just tell them, we have normally breakfast at 7 o'clock in the morning. we go to Mass on Sunday, and you, when you go to bed, you won't wake up until being invited to. And mothers have done the most quiet nights. You see, there are simple things, and the interesting thing is, it are habits you can learn. So that is one thing I would like to mention. We live in a world where it is sometimes very difficult to understand what happens. In my job, I had the possibility to study some of them and explain it, but it's so important that we talk about it. We must talk about it around the dinner table, whatever it is, come up with the problems and try to explain to each other. We must develop a critical mind. Not everything you read, not even in the church, not everything you read, you must just accept it. You must critically study it. And you must look at it and ask about it. Ideas have consequences. I give you a bad one to check it. We all speak about values. Values, since especially they were brought on the moral level by Nietzsche, are freelance ideas, values, that you can formulate as many as you like, provided they are meant to be practiced by your neighbor. It doesn't help. One of the great problems in Europe today, and that's how I discovered it, everybody speaks about values, and when you look at the substance, there's nothing. And the conclusion I drew from it is very easy. No values, but virtues. The most important thing, the most important task we have of as parents throughout, even as grandparents from time to time, is together with the children, learn to practice virtues. Virtues must become a habit. They must be learned, taught and learned, and they must go to a purpose. I must confess, I don't like very much the four cardinal virtues from Greek philosophy because they are virtues towards the good life. And I'm very much in agreement with Apostle St. Paul, who said the virtues of faith, love, and hope put everything upside down. In the Greek cardinal virtues, you don't find humility. That has nothing to do with good life. If you start from love in a family moving towards heaven, love is the basic virtue and humility is the next one. Augustine, all the saints, the including, of course, Pope John Paul II, give humility prime of praise after love. So the most important thing, and I'm not going further because he was already mentioning time to me, although I still have quite a few minutes. I made a checklist, but I will not give it to them. You can read it. But one of the most important things we found out in education is practice, learn, or teach, give the example, and practice virtues. Love to begin with, humility coming very close thereafter. The Greek made cardinal virtues are interesting, but in the scheme which is on this book, they are somewhere in here. If you start with faith, hope, and love, you have an open tree. And there are many virtues, depending on the circumstances, which you can together develop. I always want to like... apart from humility, another one that Guardini emphasizes very much, that is the virtue of orderliness. All our children and grandchildren immediately like it, after a while they do, but the virtue of orderliness is a very important one. I call it in our book the order of love as contrasted to the disorder of egoism. The order of love starts very simply. In the morning, there are a number of things you do, including cleaning up your room before coming down. And the moment you create order as a habit, your life gets more structure and you gain a lot of time. Guardini calls orderliness a very simple basic value. In our little booklet, we discuss it in the last chapter as a way towards self-discipline. Self-discipline is part of the training to virtue. And one of the beautiful things we discovered, and I discovered it also, but also I saw that it's discovered in the children, grandchildren, it becomes a habit. And if you have a habit to do certain things by virtue, you don't have to decide every time to be virtuous. And that is one of the basic principles of virtue. You have a purpose to go to heaven. You have a purpose, follow Christ. But on the way, you must order it in such a way that certain things that must be done are a habit which you don't have to take a decision about. Okay, that is my last point. I would like to close with before I close with a little prayer, a short explanation of what is here. The cover of a little booklet our children asked us to write when we turned to our 55th wedding anniversary. Become what you are. And that's the title Christian gave to us. I think we have a number of copies for those who would like to read it. One of the beautiful things is that when I started to write about this, what I would call this tree of love, the tree of the virtue based on love, I didn't ask anybody to make it, but for our golden wedding, one of our granddaughters had made it on her own. And she made an oil painting for us for our golden wedding, and it gives exactly the theme we would like to discuss in our booklet, and therefore it's on the cover, and therefore I asked to show it to you. I must say, of course, we have been in a very fortunate situation, but a number of very practical things are based on a deep faith, I hope, and are important maybe also beyond. But let me close with a short prayer I found and is in the book. May they, your children, come to you, Lord, personally. Give their parents divine wisdom and strength to convert and guide their feet towards you. And let us especially pray for all children who are homeless, abandoned, abused, or orphaned. Jesus, gather them in your loving arms.